rectangle.
I'm here today with Lloyd Cole for Radio Rectangle. So Lloyd, let's talk about the new album, first of all. The new album, Standards, it's released on June 21st, yeah?
Yes.
And Standards, it has a real Americana feel to it.
I'm sorry for laughing. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just, one of the things that I was trying to do with this record was make sure nobody said Americana.
All right. Right, I'm the first.
So I always funny because no, you're not the first. The very first one was the guy who wrote my the CV bio piece for the record. Spoke to an English journalist and he said exactly the same thing. I guess Americana means different things to different people. For him, he said it sounded like a real Americana, meaning like a New York rock and roll record, whereas Americana for me makes me think of bad alt country music.
Yeah.
So I
don't like the term myself, so we say American. We say an American feel. So women's studies, for example, I can hear the birds. Kind of feeling of the birds, but Dylan, of course. So, is this deliberate, or is it more incidental to the fact that you live in the States?
I don't think it has anything to do with where I live.
Yeah.
I think I'm just, you know, I mean, I've been compared to the birds and Dylan since the very first day I started. I think so.
Yeah.
So it's not really something new. Maybe it's just the first time in a while that it's been this apparent. I think any time anybody has a bit of fun with language and maybe lets the language become the focus of a piece of music, Dylan's name always seems to come up because he was probably the first one to really ever do that with the rock and roll.
Unpaid leave from my women's studies, out here in the meadow, the people's history of America. I smoke a pipe to Johnny 99, bipartisan consensus, keeping it dry, nothing flighty, on orders from my therapist. We were young, we were stupid, it was fine while it lasted. To complete my education, I had to wake up in your bathtub. Oh, those Monday morning quarters, I grew so accustomed to.
I don't sort of, when I'm writing, I don't think, oh, I'll put a Blondie lyric in here. I just write, and then the Blondie lyric's there, and I go, oh, well, that's quite nice. But I don't think about it. I just do it. It's only really when I'm doing interviews and things like this that I actually think about what I do. I might think about it before I do it, but when I'm doing it, when I'm actually writing, I just write.
Yeah, and it's only after, if somebody in this situation, you have to analyse it.
Yeah, and it's quite, and it's fine. You know, it's a bit, you know, some Americans might want to charge me $50 an hour for this. It's a bit like a therapy session.
Yeah. Kids Today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice commentary. But what are you saying in that song? Is it talking about kids today, or is it talking about kids when we were kids?
Or? Well, I mean, I don't really like the idea that my songs carry my message. I prefer the idea that my songs are finished things that belong to you when you've got them, and hopefully they'll offer different interpretations to different people. But, I mean, the generation gap, or the friction between parents and teenagers, basically, it's like as much part of life as death is. It's just, you know, it's there all the time. And when did it start? I'm not quite sure, but certainly parents were horrified by kids dancing the jitterbug in the 1930s. It's the same way that, you know, we might be horrified by kids covering ourselves in tattoos these days, or in if you happen to be in Norwegian death metal, burning churches down.
Yeah.
So I just thought I had this little bit of a melody which involved the phrase "kids today," and in trying to write it, I had all these notes for a chronological kind of, like, let's run through the 20th century. And it just didn't work. It was boring, and it only worked when I actually almost did like a Burroughs cut up and put all the put the different time reference points next to each other and jumbled them up. Then it seemed to work. So that's all I'm doing at that end. However anybody else wants to listen to it is fine by me. If they have fun with it, it's all the better. I do. The final line on that song is probably my favourite one on the record. I love the
shirt.
Yeah, the Vivian Westwood shirt. Yeah. I love the idea of like the dad owning a Sex Pistol shirt but not letting the kid wear it.
Wouldn't you say there's something wrong with kids today? They live on their hats while they're digging that bebop jazz. They pat their lips and shrug. All they wanna do is jitterbug, isn't it so? We're juvenile delinquent wrecks, I know. With our heavy metal comic books and our rock and roll, we wear red leatherettes. We'll be burning churches now. But I don't wanna date the hijack girl, and I don't need to raise the suburbs. But how am I gonna get the girl if I don't bitch and fuss and rage against, rage against, rage against
It's funny because I wasn't really, I didn't really do that in my life, but obviously I had friends who did, and my kids don't seem to hate me, but well, some of the time, but not most of the time. We actually get on reasonably well.
Yeah.
But I think I'm like just the exception, really.
And your son, he plays on the album.
Yep. Yeah, that's him coming in right after Marky Moon with the other guitar.
So how great was that to have him kind of in the studio or working with you?
Well, it was a great idea, and it is his contributions to the record are great, and he, you know, he's on the record because he's a great guitarist as well as my son, primarily because I really like his guitar playing style. He grew up listening to some of the guitarists that I love, like Robert Quine. In fact, we used to go and get burgers together when William was really little, and he learnt listening to Keith Richard, and he learnt listening to groups like The Strokes. So he's got his own guitar playing style, which is a little reminiscent of Quine, but not completely. So it seemed perfect for this record. Having him in the studio was not so easy because he's at that stage where he's always right, and I don't always agree with him.
And how old is he?
He's 20. So a lot of the time he was like, "Dad, you're using the worst parts that I've recorded." It's like, well, these are the bits I like. Yeah, but that's wrong. you know, I mean, we're not having a big fight about it, but so trying to make sure that his experience on my record was not too traumatic was actually a bit stressful for me. Well, you know, but it worked out pretty well in the end. And he does, in the same way that Quine did, he comes up with parts that I would never think of. I mean, the thing on the last song, the funny sort of R&B guitar that starts the track, that wasn't there until the very end. And then it sort of became sort of the forefront lead guitar, something that was completely turned the song kind of upside down. It's really nice to have an album that we don't have a song that we're trying to hide. You know that theory. I think it's Robert Forster put it in one of his articles as well. The last but one song on the second side of your album is always the song, the worst song on the record, the one you're always trying to hide. No, I don't have anything on that. But I only recorded 11 songs. I got lucky. I mean, maybe the album would have had to be less, or you'd have had to record more. But I suppose Blue Like Mars is working in a different territory to where I've been in the past, and it sounded a bit goth to me when we were recording it, and nobody else seemed to agree with me, which is, I suppose, good, because I don't want to make a goth record. But we were just thinking about this the other day. Who's got the worst music, the goths or the metal?
Probably the metal.
Yeah, actually there is a few decent bands for the goths, even if, yeah, but the goths probably got the worst clothes.
Yeah, so it's a trade-off.
Maybe you know it's not about you. Orbiting gas, it is around you. Soon to be clear beyond your domain. Doesn't it stink to be human? Fallible, weak, it's so tiresome. How could a god create a beast so low? How should I know? Baby, you know it's not about you.
All of the bars around the black hole. Well, this takes me to another question. There seems to be today there's a surge of artists who kind of believe and defend the album format.
Really, is there? Good. And who, like who else?
You know, as a sequence that must be defined by the artist,
right,
and not messed about with by the shuffle generation. I know Pink Floyd were very against those songs being available individually.
Right.
I think the new Daft Punk album is all about being an album.
Yeah.
Groups are saying, you know, we want to defend, we don't want one track to be removed and just played in isolation because it's part of a longer narrative. Is that what you're doing with the album?
Well, I'm not sure if I think if I think in terms of a longer narrative. I just think that if the album is an album, and a lot of things that come out that are called albums aren't really albums, they're just mishmashes of stuff thrown together. If it is an album, then not only do you have an order that has been considered, but you've also got a basic feeling for the whole record, which gives it a feeling of a wholeness.
Yeah.
So, on the one hand, I feel that, you know, if you buy my record, you can do what the bloody hell you want with it. But if you're going to listen to it all the way through, then I think you might want to trust me that the order that I've put on the record is absolutely the best one possible, because we've considered every possible one. You know, we considered every possible way to have a running order and to make the songs most enjoyable if you're going to listen to it for 40 minutes. So, yeah, I think... that's the promo. They'll see if they can get you one of the actual albums, because we've actually made a real effort with the finished product here to make it feel like something, which is a slight tactile experience. We've actually got the cardboard is actually raised, and there's a letterpress used, and all of the images are based on letterpress, or I mean all of the text is either letterpress or pencil. So I've tried to make something that is about as far away from a file on a cloud as you could possibly be, even though it's still recorded digitally. And yes, I do. I do think that there's something going on with this. I don't know. Do people call it me generation or whatever? But the idea that everything in your Facebook profile is about you, really. It's not about when somebody would say, "Do you like this record?" She'll go, "Oh yeah, it's in my top 10." I don't care if it's in your top 10. Do you like it or not? You know, I mean, can you? Is it possible for this generation to think about things in terms of how much? And I think that there's something going on with the way that people listen to music now, which is tied into that, which is basically the idea of get the album or buy this music, and then it's almost like an American commercial concept. It's like break the rules, like you can do it however you want, and it's not a very helpful way of thinking about music. I think if you know this, somebody like that might take music for 18 musicians and mess up the order and completely lose any continuity that would be there. Or sometimes even if you have your iTunes organized by most recently imported, if you import an album, it's all automatically upside down because it imports the first one first, and then that becomes the last one. So you've always got to go and put it into a playlist of your own to make sure that they're the right way up. So and then I think if you were to buy an iPod, I think it's defaults to being in shuffle mode. You have to stop it being in shuffle mode if you don't want shuffle mode.
Yeah.
So I think we are up against it, but I do think it is something worth. I think it's something worth making. I think I still like the idea of the album, and I still think about albums by my heroes. I think about Highway 61, the album, not just the song, one song on it or two or three songs on it. I think about the whole thing, and I'm still sort of clinging to that idea of that's what I want my job to be.
Yeah, as a whole piece of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people might be surprised. Well, when you collaborated with Hans Joachim Bredelius from Cluster,
yeah,
and did some minimal electronic music together. How did that come about?
I made an electronic record in 2002 or so called Plastic Wood, which is. If you know Cluster and you listen to this, you go, "Oh, Lloyd Colmer's like Cluster."
Yeah.
He got to hear it and really liked it, and actually liked it so much he went away and made his own version of it. He took my album and he did his own overdubs over the top of it, and told me he thought we should release it, which I didn't because I'd already finished my version of it. So it took us 10 years to get around to actually acting out his idea in the first place, and we each made some tracks that were deliberately unfinished to let the other one finish them.
Okay.
So that's how it happened. But it took us 10 years to get around to do it.
Were you ever in the same room?
No.
Together at the same time?
No. No. In fact, I've only met him in person once. To be honest, it's a great way to work with musicians. There's a lot of talk right now because of this record I've done of the idea that I might tour with a band. Kind of horrifies me. I love working with musicians, but being with musicians 24 hours a day, I might want to kill all of them after about a week.
I mean, what we know because we're musicians, we play together.
It's hard, isn't it? The hours of the day when you're not actually making the music and you're traveling together or whatever, and if it's not perfectly organized, tiny little annoying things become massively annoying after a while. And so I'm sort of in this weird kind of thinking about, well, maybe I might want to play with the band next year, but boy, so many memories make me not want to.
Is it maybe a fact as we get older and things become intolerable that were acceptable when you were in your 20s?
The job that I had for about 15 years was making albums and then going out promoting them, and I think that when I stopped doing that, sort of also coincided with when my concerts weren't really about promoting albums anymore. They were about a concert by me, which is presenting a body of work from a number of years. And even when I've got an album out, I do a concert. You know, I'm not going to play more than 4 or 5 songs from a new record, and I'm going to be playing probably 30 songs in the night. So it's not about promoting the album anymore. It's about thinking about a way to do a concert. Certainly, you know, I was incredibly lucky. I didn't have to put up with too much crap. Our band did quite well, and we travelled relatively comfortably. But it was never perfect, and there would always be, you know. So you'd play, like when we used to play nice venues in France, for example, and then we'd have to go to Germany where we weren't as popular, and we'd play these clubs that we absolutely hated. If I were to do something with a band, my career is just not in that great condition everywhere right now. I mean, if we wanted to put a tour together, there would probably have to be some days where the shows were not really ideal.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I mean, I might be at the point where I can't face it.
But there are some dates, I think.
I've got concerts booked for all. From September till the end of the year, but they're all solo shows this year. It's next year that we're talking about doing some band shows. And my agent is bugging me right now to try and get me to agree to do some, and I'm thinking about it.
And how do you find playing in Belgium?
Well, I haven't played in Brussels for a while, but I've played quite a lot of shows over the last 5 or 6 years in Belgium, in these sort of small, medium-sized towns that have got really active kind of local government supporting of music, and it's great. It's really, really, really been great fun, and the shows always seem to be sold out or close to sold out. Maybe because they put them on sale so long in advance, or it's like a program that they'll have for the arts.
The cultural centres.
Yeah, lots of cultural centres, and It's been great, and it's going to be nice on this tour, because I think up to that point I'm going to be running madly around Europe with probably lots of really long drives and flying here and taking the train there, and I think there's going to be this nice bit of about 10-12 days in Holland and Belgium that are going to be a little bit more civilized and possibly even time for the odd round of golf, if the weather behaves.
Yeah, and, about golf?
I don't know if I'm passionate about anything. I'm not really passionate as a person. I don't think I'm quite cold fish, but it's my hobby. I like it. And I don't think about music when I play golf, and I think about music almost all the time. And if I'm writing a song or something, it's damn songs in my head all day, and golf helps that. Takes me into a different place. Don't think about my family either, which is great. I mean, golf is literally about the only thing. I mean, it's probably my heroin, really.
Yeah. And just as addictive?
No, I can control it. I mean, when I was working on this record, I had a limited period of time that I wanted to just focus on writing these songs so that when I went to Los Angeles to record, I could focus entirely on the production and the performance and not constantly be having to try and think about that line in verse 4 that I haven't finished yet. So I went up to my attic. I put the golf clubs away in September last year and didn't play any, and didn't play at all until the songs were finished. So no, I I can handle it.
Do you miss England?
I miss people. I miss certain aspects of humour. I miss good Indian food. That's it. I've got Marmite.
I can get most things.
You can actually a half decent fish and chips these days, although they use scrod rather than cod, but it's not bad. And I certainly, you know, I mean, America's a mess in economically and politically, but it's not like the UK's really in such great shapes either, so...
No, not at all.
So, it's not, you know, it's not like, I mean, part of me wishes I didn't live in the United States, but I'm there more out of inertia than anything else, and I'm looking after my kids and my family, so there's not any way I can just, you don't just uproot them. And my kids, my youngest boy's doing well in school, and the last thing you want to do is move him when he's doing well in school.
Yeah. And, so what is your life like in, is it Massachusetts?
Yeah. What is it like? Well,
is it very rural?
No, it's a small town we live in, and we live right in the middle. I live just up the street from the police station, just along the street from the funeral home, and close to walking distance from two pretty good pubs, a couple of decent restaurants, probably a a long walk or a short bike ride to a recording studio that I have a space in as well. So it'd be a bit like, I'm trying to think what, it's a bit bigger than where I grew up in Chapel-on-le-Frith, but probably about the same number of pubs. And it's actually probably about the same size town. I think it's about 30,000 people live in the town we live in. So certainly not a city, but not rural now. And, you know, I live in a big old American house, and I'm usually in the attic. It's my, the attic is my sort of studio / office, yeah, with a green carpet for practicing putting in the winter.
And do you have a certain, anonymity is not the right word, but you can go about your business without being...
I can go about my business really, really anywhere in the world these days. I'm not that recognised anymore, so... I go about my business. Most people in town know that I'm a... they know what I do.
Yeah.
But I was never... You know, they go, oh yeah, he's quite famous in Europe. Because I was never been famous in America. Never been more than a sort of cult artist in America. Who was on the David Letterman show once. You know? Yeah. And thought better of it.
And you've managed to keep your English accent...
Well, you might think so, and yeah, maybe talking to you is making me do that. I'm probably a bit of a chameleon, but you know, I was in Lisbon the other night watching the golf. A bunch of English people were in there, and so some guy was talking to me about it, and I said, "So, well, did you think I was Irish or Australian?" Then I said, "I've had both insults," and he said, "No, I thought you were American." I was like, "Fuck." So, I stopped worrying about it. You know, I mean, if I say tomato, then people either don't understand or they say, "Oh, that's cute, say it again." So I don't bother.
Yeah, I mean, we have a similar thing here.
Where are you from? Are you from the northeast?
I'm from the northwest.
You're from the northwest?
In between Liverpool and Manchester.
All right, my ability to judge, I thought I could hear a tiny Tyneside thing, but no, yeah. So whereabouts exactly?
Oh, a place called St. Helens.
Of course, yeah. I've got a gig in St. Helens.
At the Citadel?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which is the main...
Yeah.
The cool place in,
yeah,
St. Helens.
Yeah.
The only one.
Yeah, I think I played there... Actually, I played somewhere else in St. Helens a couple of years ago that... I remember distinctly that the little hallway beside... It's like a small theatre. The hallway sort of leading to the dressing rooms had loads of pictures of George Formby.
Oh.
Maybe it was the Citadel again, but I can't remember, but I think it's the Citadel I'm in this year.
You have a date at the Citadel?
Yeah,
Band.
Yeah, it's already booked. There's a UK tour in October, and starts in London and then goes around the country.
It's late, I'm so far from home. It's late, I don't want to be alone. It's late, eyes are black as coal. I wanna take you back to my hotel. I could be true tonight to someone like you tonight. It's late, this lonely hotel room. It's late, there's nobody but you on my mind. With your lips so red, your lips as red as hellfire, stop me dead, bring me down to my knees. I could be blue tonight for someone like you tonight, someone like you. I went looking for the devil's daughter, found you sitting in this old saloon, just exactly where the hotel porter told me. If you're looking for trouble tonight, I know where the trouble's gonna be tonight. Cross my palm with silver, I could be true tonight to someone like you tonight. I could be blue tonight for someone like you. La 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 la. someone like you tonight. I could be blue tonight for someone like you.
So the last question.
Could be a
long answer, but we'll see. So you've been in the music business for 30 years.
Yeah, almost exactly now. I think it was probably around about this time in 1983 that I left college to become professional.
So what do you make of the music industry today with that experience?
Well, everything's... most of the changes have been kind of gradual, so it's obviously so different now to the way it was then. But, I mean, what my son is doing in Brooklyn is almost exactly the same as what we were doing in Glasgow in 1983. So, in some ways, some things are exactly the same still. You know, and to try and be a pop star, rock star, you still need to have a band, and you still need to write your own songs, and you still need to go out there and play, and you have to generate a genuine fan base to have a chance. And so those things are the same. The ways to generate the fan base can be different in terms of, you know, we had to go and play concerts, make records that would get on the radio, and these days you can maybe do a bit more than that by being visible via the various social media and internet things. But it's not, I mean, it's still basically you make music, you try and get it to people and hope they like it. So in that respect, I don't think that much has changed. But in terms of what kind of a living you might be able to make doing it, I worry about my son. You know, I mean, basically, there's no middle in the music industry anymore. There's the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
And there's you know, a bit like the world economy. The middle classes are under attack everywhere. So.
And shows like The Voice, if they asked you to do a spot on The Voice as a musical interlude.
You mean one of those awful shows where they have the judges,
yeah, they have one with chairs that turn.
Oh yeah,
because Liam Gallagher played on the semi-final a couple of weeks ago, and that was quite horrific, really.
I can't imagine how being on something like that could be good. The only thing that similar to that that I got offered a couple of years ago was they had a TV reality show where they had artists coaching amateurs or maybe coaching like TV celebrities on singing, and I think Martin Fry was on it, and I think maybe Tony Hadley was on it. They asked me if I wanted to do that, and I said I didn't think it was a good idea for me. I have to make a living. It's a bit like a few years ago I used to say, you know, if Disney, you know, asked me to write the soundtrack to the next film, I'd have to say yes, because I need to raise my kids. I just maybe hope they don't ask me, you know.
Yeah, it's a dilemma.
Yeah, it is. I'd love to be in a position where later could finally ask me to come on and tell them to go to hell. Because they've never asked me to go on in my entire career, so I'd love to be in a position where I could do that, but I'd be shooting myself in the foot, so I can't really do that.
It's a criminal oversight that they haven't asked. I have a feeling Jules Holland has very little to say.
I don't think he ever has. It's a guy called Mark something or other that used to be the BBC, used to be at Top of the Pops.
Same old.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, we were very lucky in the early days of getting asked to go on everything. The Smiths were never on the shows that we were on, and they were making better records than we were. So, We were lucky then. Slightly less lucky now. It's all right.
Okay, so I think we're out of time, Lloyd.
All right. Cheers.
So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
On behalf of Radio Rectangle, it's been a pleasure.
Cheers.